The bottom line is that we belong to a body, the body of Christ, and that means I'm no longer an individual. I belong to my brothers and sisters, and they belong to me. We are a body now. It's no longer a me thing, it's a we thing. And God's people need to understand that, because the enemy is very slick. And he knows how to say things or even give you impressions that aren't even true. For example, if somebody has missed church a few times, I know my heart, I know the heart of everybody here, is that we are happy, always happy, to see people come through that door. Amen. Our brothers and sisters, I don't care if they've been gone a year, we're going to rejoice that they've come. Amen. That they've come back to church. And we're not going to stand in judgment against them. We're going to welcome them. We're going to love them. Amen. We're going to bless them. And many times people have legitimate reasons why they're not in church. Amen. That's okay. The bottom line is that we belong to a body, and we need to be part of the body ministry. There's no longer an I thing, but it's a we thing. Right? We know that. So listen, be careful of that voice that tells you, because there are certain people that have heard this, and it's actually, instead of causing them to come back, they stay away. Because the voice says you're going to be judged if you go back, because you've been away. And it's the devil. Because the devil's goal is to separate the sheep from the fold. To isolate the sheep, because when the sheep is isolated from the fold and out from under really the shepherd, then they're more vulnerable to attack. Isn't that what happens in nature, right? They look for the straggler or the weak one or the one that's been separated out. And the enemy is very good at working on us and giving us all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons. And we can justify anything that we do. We can justify anything we do. We can always say, well, it's this, or well, it's that. And the bottom line is, what did God say? Not how do I feel, but what does God say about it? Are we faithful to God? This is God's stuff here. This is God's thing. Amen. It's not a, I said it before, it's certainly not the Keith show, because if you came for a show, you'd get disappointed. But it's the body coming together to edify, to encourage, to build, to pray, right? To worship, and to receive the nourishment that each part supplies. And so every person is important. Everyone is important in the body of Christ. And if a person is not there, I don't know about you, but I sense it. I can tell. And we have to be careful that we don't listen again to that voice that says, well, you've been away, and you've been gone, or you know, you haven't showed up for a couple weeks. And it always becomes so much easier after you've been away a little bit to just continue to stay away. I have witnessed over and over again where people begin just a little bit of a drift and a little bit of a folding of the arms and a laying back today, I'm tired today, and whatever it may be. And then you look, you know, a few months down the road, and now they're completely isolated, completely shut off, and the enemy has convinced them that if they were to come back, people are going to judge them, which is not true, but it's a lie from the enemy to keep people out of church, out of fellowship. There's a lie today being told people that church is not important. No, if we're playing church, it's certainly not important. But if we are the church, then it's important. And there are many who are playing church, and they have a good reason not to want to go, because there's nothing there, right? Except pomp and ceremony. But we have the substance, which is Christ. We have a heart. And it's important that every one of us shares. And as part of this, I need to be here not for myself, but for you. Amen? We need to be here as often as we can for the Lord. We come for the Lord. Amen? And when we come for the Lord, that means I'm coming for you because you are part of His body. So we come not just to receive, but to give. So, and Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And as we share in the life of Jesus with others, we will find ourselves to be well watered. Isn't it true? If we're just a stagnant pond or one that just receives, you know, like the Dead Sea, it has water running into it, but it's not flowing. It's not flowing out. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. You know, we can become like that Dead Sea unless we are a conduit through whom the Spirit of God moves. That means as I'm receiving, I'm also imparting. I'm giving. As I'm giving, I'm also receiving. As I do the Father's will, I find satisfaction in my own spirit. I'm completed in that. Remember a few months ago, the message, you know, daily bread in the will of God. And that was Jesus' example to us, that He found daily bread in the will of God. So I think we have a church that's safe. When people do come in, they're always greeted warmly and welcomed, and we're not judgmental. But the devil is a liar, and he'll tell people that. And we don't want to be the ones who are listening to that voice. I get the voices like everybody else sometimes, you know, that wants to get us paranoid about each other. You know, that so-and-so is against you, or he said something about you. So what if they did, anyways? And what better place for us to learn how to grow in grace and in forgiveness is in church. Because what is church anyways but just a cross-section of the world? That's right. It's a hospital. Come on, it is. And that's why the word of righteousness is so important, that we're being instructed and corrected, because I want to be more like Jesus. I don't want somebody to tell me I'm okay if I'm not. I can't get better. I mean, I can't improve on that. And there's a delusional thinking today that many have adopted this gospel that they're already finished. Now, God completes us, and in Him we're complete, but we're certainly a work in progress. Man, until that day the Lord says, okay, it's time to come home. You're ready. Or He returns. Tonight, before I start out, well, let me just say this. This morning, we talked about character. Having a steadfast spirit. You know, being the same. Not being wishy-washy. Someone that lives like a chameleon that changes further in their surroundings and becomes like this when they're with that person and like that with that person. But Jesus, how many know Jesus was the same? Amen? Always the same. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not change. And if you want to see perfection, we look at Jesus. And so we want to become stable or steady like Him. We don't want to be people who, you know, are blown around by every wind of doctrine and the craftiness of men who lie in wait to deceit. And, you know, we need to grow up, amen, so that we're not so easily swayed and deceived by people who seem to be spiritual. But character is important because it determines your future. Your future depends on your character. Many times people will come and they will know how to say the right things, you know. They're good at the Christian jargon and they have the scriptures and they can quote scriptures and they can tell you even what is true and what is right. But sometimes there's a disconnect between what we're saying and who we are. Or what we're saying and what we think. And God is holy, and that means He's integrated. Amen? God is a God of integrity. Everything He says, He thinks, and He does always agrees. And so when we are holy, we're the same way. A whole person can be trusted. A person who is integrous can be trusted. Why? Because you know they're not going to flip out on you, or they're not going to change on you the next day. They're not going to be fickle. Right? They're the same person. You know, people like that, rocks, people you call them, they're just a real steady influence in your life, someone that you can turn to and know that they're not going to be this way one day and that way the next wet day, you know? We want to know who we're talking to, right? Now, who am I talking to Bruce or somebody else today, right? I mean, I want to know that Bruce is Bruce. I know my brother. I know his character. And if somebody talks about my brother and they say something that's not true about him, I will know that that's not true. Why? Because I know his character. Because he has proven that he is stable and that he is the same. He doesn't change. So this is something that we all need to have developed in us is a steadfast spirit, an unshakable character. And God is doing that. He's working in us to make us stable. Why? Because as the world falls apart around us, they're going to need someone that they can turn to and depend on who's going to be steady and stable and not wishy-washy. You know, God needs someone who's not going to follow the crowd because the crowd's doing something, then I'm going to get on the bandwagon. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. No, God is looking for individuals who are solid in Him, that are grounded in Him, that He can entrust the greater riches of the kingdom to. And people are looking and needing stability in their lives. Many people are born into generations of dysfunction, you know? And so they've never known stability. And so instability produces more instability, usually greater instability as it goes down, you know, through the generations. Until a person comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ and they are established in Christ, they are grounded in Christ, they are firm in Christ, they become steadfast in Him. When a person becomes steadfast in Him, now they are somebody that is consistent. They are a holy person and someone that can be trusted. So if we, as God's people, are not people of our word, then we can't be trusted. And if we can't be trusted, who can? We know God never fails. God can always be trusted. But it is important, folks, that we are somebody on this planet that can be trusted. And you know, sometimes people have played the game so long that they burned every bridge in their life. And nobody trusts them anymore. People have washed their hands of them. They're done with them because they have used their talents. They have used their abilities to control and manipulate and take advantage of other people. To the degree that in some cases they have no one left. Our character determines our future. If you have steady, good character, it can bring you places. Amen? It can open doors for you because you can be trusted. But I want to say it again because I said it this morning, but even those people who have blown it, who have burned every bridge in their life, they need to know there's somebody that loves them, somebody that cares for them. When everybody else is throwing their hands up and says, I'm done with you, that God's people will say, you know what? We love you. We love you. And we're going to be here for you. We may not trust you right away, but we're going to work with you. And we're going to believe the best for you, that God can turn it around. He can change your heart. There is nothing that God cannot do. Amen. There's no person that cannot be transformed by the power of God. You're looking at one right here. I was the kind of person that they had just gone, forget it. But God didn't give up on me. And He doesn't give up on us. Tonight, I want to talk about a little bit more about being true to our word. And the title of the message is, Did You Mean What You Said? Did you mean what you said? I said this morning, you know, but sometimes as a pastor, I'm going to make people angry. If I don't make you angry, sometimes I'm not doing my job because I'm not telling you the truth. And the truth sometimes will hurt and it'll make people mad. People will get up, they'll walk out, whatever. But We have to be faithful to God. And it's only the truth that's going to set people free. It's going to help us. So we've got to be faithful with this word, even when it costs us to do so. Even if you lose friends over it, you've got to tell your friends what's true. If you love their soul, you're going to have to tell them. If you keep going that way, you're going to go to hell. Folks, I believe people can be lost. How about you? Do you believe that there's a hell? And there are people, many people that are on the wide road, and if they don't repent and get back with Christ and return to the Lord, they're going to continue down the path of destruction. It's not going to end well. And it's not enough to start well. We have to finish well. Because the race is not always to the swift. The race is to those who finish the race. To those who overcome to the end, the same shall be saved. To he who overcomes, I shall inherit what? All things. To those who overcome to the end. Now, the Mosaic Law contained several prohibitions against swearing falsely by the name of God. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. I am the Lord." Numbers 30 and verse 2 says, "A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do." Deuteronomy 23:21, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him, for the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin." How many know it's a sin to vow something to God and not do it, to make a promise? That's why it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not follow through with it. To swear by God's name meant that he was your witness that you were telling the truth. "I swear by God," someone may say. And the Jews thought that they could avoid swearing falsely by God's name by substituting heaven, earth, Jerusalem, or even their own head as that by which they swore. And in Matthew 5:33 through 37, listen to what Jesus says. "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one." For you and I, our word needs to be good. Amen? When we say something, we mean what we say. And we're binding ourselves to our word. Just like God binds himself to his word. Amen? If he says something, he's going to follow it up. Amen? The law of God is actually a law to God as well. So it is, if we're whole in him, and we represent him as ambassadors, we have to be people who are integrous, who are true to our word. If we tell somebody, "I'll be here," or "I'll be there," we need to be there. If we can't be there, give them a call, or, you know. But we need to be people who are not saying one thing and meaning another. We need to be true to our word. Otherwise, we cannot be trusted. And it doesn't take very often. A few times of doing that, folks, and people aren't trusting you anymore. I hear so many people just promise this and say, "I'll be," you know, "you don't have to promise me anything. Don't say anything then. You know, you don't have to make any promises." I mean, just an example is, "I'll be at church," you know, and never show up, never call. And they don't, "You didn't have to tell me that. If you didn't plan on going to church, just don't go. If God says stay home, stay home. It's okay. But don't say you're going to do something and then not back it up. Because it's a lie. It's a lie. There are no such thing as white lies or half-truths, right, in the kingdom. So if you say yes, let it mean yes. If you say no, I won't, let it be No, I won't. But when you start to have to justify yourself by, well, you can usually tell when somebody's lying because they'll start swearing by God or by something. Are you hearing me? Why? Because they're trying to convince you. And they're overcompensating, you know, trying to convince you that they're telling the truth. I swear to God. How many con men have used that? They swear all the time right in front of your face. I swear I'll do that. I'll swear I'll do that. You know, and what they're basically saying is, I want you to believe me, you know, believe this lie I'm telling you. So I'm going to try to build up the story a little bit here. An oath is unnecessary because our yes should mean yes, and our no should mean no. But what Jesus is also saying here is not saying that he's not forbidding to take an oath in a court of law, because Jesus himself testified under oath before the high priest. He's talking about our conversation among each other. Amen? That we need to be truthful. In Matthew 26 and verse 63, Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. In verse 64, Jesus replied, you have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. You know, Paul also used an oath to call God as his witness that what he was writing was true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Now I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth. The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. I declare before God that what I am telling you is not a lie. Galatians 1:20 and verse 21. After that visit, I went north into the province of Syria and Cilicia. In other words, he was just being a man of integrity. He's saying he realized that everything he did was before God. And he knew that he was going to be accountable for what he said. Just like you and I are accountable for what we say. Even by our words, we'll be justified or condemned. And our leaders, you know, it's so hard. Government officials, teachers, even clergy, to find people who are true to their words, to find someone that can be trusted. What is a vow anyways? A vow is an oath, right? An oath is a solemn statement or claim used to validate a promise. An oath is a solemn statement or claim used to validate a promise. Matthew 21:28, Jesus said, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and he went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Verse 31, which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. You know, it's better not to say, I will, than to say you will and not do it. Don't make promises that you don't intend to keep. And don't make promises that you can't keep. If you're going to say something to somebody, let it be in truth. Amen. Because truth is loving people. It's love. Amen. Whenever we lie, we're being selfish. And lies hurt people. They destroy people. And they destroy our own soul. And of course, we know who the father of lies is. Satan. He's behind every lie. So when we vow to live for Christ and we do not, God holds us accountable. Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And even in the Old Testament, vows were made to God as a promise, an expectation of his favor. For example, vows were made in thanksgiving for His blessing. In Psalms 22:24. Psalms 22:24. For He has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned His back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. In verse 25, I will praise You in the great assembly. Listen to what He said. The psalmist said, I will fulfill My vows in the presence of those who worship You. It was a vow that was made in thanksgiving for God's blessing. In other words, because You've blessed me, I'm making a vow that I will do this. Psalms 116 and verse 12, what can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. And then He said in verse 14, I will keep My promises to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Jesus emphasized the importance of our words. In Matthew 12 and verse 35, He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You know, we run into many people, some people that are fast talkers, we call them fast talkers. They're full of words, and they bombard you with words. They're usually working with an agenda. You know what I'm saying? They exaggerate, they embellish, they make promises, they swear to God or by something, strike my heart, whatever, you know, I heard all kinds of crazy stuff people will say over spilled, you know, over silly stuff. It's usually a situation where the person is trying to con you and convince you that they are a person of their words. If we are people of our word, we don't have to convince anybody about it. We don't have to exaggerate. We don't have to dress it up. We don't have to try to convince them. If we're people of our word, they know that what we say is what we mean, and they can trust what we say. But if we lie to people and we're not truthful with people and we are not integrous, we don't do or say what we think, then people will not trust us. And people who have burned bridges with people are the people who are usually overcompensating and really trying so hard to convince you that they're telling the truth. But if we are people of integrity, we can simply say, Annie, you know, I'll be there. You know, if for some reason I can't be there, I'll give you a call, I'll let you know. Simply said, right? Integrity. We need to be people that can be trusted. If we can be trusted in natural things, then God will entrust us with spiritual things. There is a parallel, isn't there? There's a connection. As people of God, you know, you've all seen the stories. We've seen it in the headlines. We've seen some of the high-profile ministers and televangelists and who have been in all kinds of scams, and they've manipulated with their gifts and with their talents to get people, you know, to do for them. And they burn bridges because now nobody trusts them. And rightly so, because they can't be trusted. It's a huge problem, even in clergy, isn't it? Where there's a lack of integrity. So therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to the Lord in the day of judgment. What we say is very empowering. It's very important. It's very powerful. For the power of life and death is in our tongue. Jesus emphasized the importance of our words. He said, a good man, chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 35, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Amen? And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, remember Jonah We all know the story of the fish, right? Jonah tried to run from his commitment to God. And the reason we know that is because of his prayer in the belly of the whale, right? Or whatever the fish was. Jonah 2:7, chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." And listen to what he said in verse 8. "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed." Now, it doesn't tell us anywhere in the book of Jonah where God had made a vow to God, but it's obvious by his confession here that he had made vows to God that he was not keeping, and God got his attention in the belly of the fish. Amen? And then he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." And then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry ground. And then James, he also stressed the importance of meaning what you say in chapter 5 and verse 12. "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." Now, in Hosea's day, their people were not being true to their word then either. In Hosea 10:4, God said they spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep. So injustice springs up among them like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field. They spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep. People are often very quick to say things to God. Have you ever done that? Have I ever done that? Yes. God knows our hearts. So many times we've had people that have made commitments to God, usually with an agenda. "God, if you get me out of this, I will." And God gets them out of it and they don't. How many know it's better not to swear to God, amen, and say you're going to do something if you don't intend on doing it? Because God doesn't forget. It's getting quiet in here tonight. We're all thinking, yeah, boy, wow. Isn't it true, though? There's a connection between false promises and injustice. He says, because they're making these false promises, injustice springs up among them, like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field. I said it this morning, but the reason why many politicians cannot be trusted is because they get into their position by popularity. And in order to be popular, many of them will compromise their principles. They're not people of character because they're not the same. They're a chameleon. They'll be this person to that person and this person to that person. "Well, I'm a Christian and I'm a Muslim. I'm a this and I'm a that. I'm whatever you want me to be. I just need popularity. Whatever I can do to get popular, because if I get popular, I get votes and I get into office." Amen? And many of them, once they get into office, well, you still have the same person that has no integrity now in office, because they got in by popularity and not by character. Jesus said Satan himself is the father of lies. In John 8, verse 44, he says to the Pharisees, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So whenever a person aligns himself with a lie, we're aligning ourselves with Satan himself. That's why when our children are young, we have to correct them. Amen. Right away, when we start to notice that Adamic nature coming through. Amen. And they tell their first lie, it's not okay. They have to be called on it. Amen. They have to be brought into accountability for their actions. That they'll learn not to align themselves with that voice of the adversary. That's why discipline is so important. so we can spare our children's soul. Amen? It's better not to vow, folks, than to vow and not do it. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says this: when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Now remember, in Acts chapter 5, a broken promise, a broken vow brought death to two. This is in the New Testament, after the cross. But there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles. This is Acts chapter 5, verse 2. Claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. They had worked on this together. This is what you call an unholy alliance. Amen? They were saying one thing and thinking another. And then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. After selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, to man, but to God. In other words, they were trying to give the impression before men that they were given the full amount. And they didn't have to give the full amount at all. It was their choice. That's what he's saying. It was your choice to decide what you did with that gift. You didn't have to give it at all. But the problem is that they lied and told people that they had given the full amount when they had not. And because he was not just lying to men, but he was lying to the Holy Spirit, it brought instant judgment on them. That's how important words are. There are times, folks, when people have been judged instantly because of something they said. I remember when I was a kid, and even though I don't know if I was ever a Christian when I was a kid, I still had a fear of God. I remember the kids in the neighborhood would get around, and you know, some kids, they would, you know, cross my heart to die, you know, whatever. One of them was like, you know, like, might be struck by lightning if I'm not telling the truth, you know. May God strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. And I remember even when I was a kid, when I'd hear them speak this way, I was like cringing. I was thinking, do you know what you're saying? God is good. God is merciful. Aren't you glad? If He wasn't merciful, we'd all be toast by now. But I just remember just thinking about, you know, how blatant they would bring God into the picture and use His name and swear by God and say things that, you know, strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. And you know what? We need to be very careful what we say. But why don't we just kind of bring this to a close tonight? I just wanted to get the point across, folks, that it is vitally important for you and I, as followers of Jesus, to live and walk just like our Savior. Amen. To be just like Jesus in this world, to follow in His footsteps, to be people who are holy as He is holy, to be people of integrity, that we can be trusted that what we say, we mean. You know, sometimes I have senior moments and I forget something I might have said, but it would never be deliberate or to give some of the impression that I was going to do something when really I didn't mean that. That's a lie. And you know, I've heard a lot of Christians lie. And when we lie, who can the world trust on the earth? We are the ambassadors of God. We are His representatives. If we are not people of integrity, people of our word, then who can the world turn to? Who can be trusted? It's so difficult to find someone that you can be trusted anymore. Someone who is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever like Jesus. Amen? Someone who is going to be consistently the same person. The person that you saw on Sunday is the person you meet on Monday. Amen? We're not hypocrites or stage actors putting on a show on one day and then the real you lives out a different way on Monday. Are you hearing me? If we are holy, then we're the same Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, every day of the week, we're going to be the same consistent person. And when we are consistent, when we are steadfast in our character, when we are established and grounded in the Word of God, amen, and we know who we are, and people will know that, and they can trust us. There's people in this room that I trust because I know their character. I've gotten to know them. And I know that they've got my back. I know that they won't say one thing to my face and then say something behind my back. That's derogatory. And I know if somebody speaks against one of you, and I know who you are, and it doesn't line up with your character, guess what? They're going to hear about it. That doesn't sound like so-and-so. It may be Paul, but it's not like... No, I'm just kidding. Is it? Are you following? We know the character of a person. And so it's not too late, but now is the time. And that was the point I was trying to get across this morning. Is, folks, we've got to be integrous. We've got to be people of our word. And we do this because everything we do is before God. Everything will be brought forth to judgment. Every idle word that men shall speak. That's how important your words are. By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. Be very careful. It's better not to vow than to vow and not perform it. And you don't need to swear by anything because your word as a follower of Jesus is always going to be true. Amen? If I tell you something, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you about it. You know, sometimes I think even as preachers, we can be guilty of the white lies because sometimes we sugarcoat things because we know it'll hurt somebody's feeling. How many know that can be dishonesty too? God help us with that. We need to speak the truth in love. Paul said, the more that I love, the less that I'm loved. Folks, I feel the heat sometimes, I really do. Because my desire is to speak the truth in love, no matter what. So, closing, we have to ask ourselves this question. Am I a man or a woman of my word? Am I somebody that can be trusted? It's getting more and more difficult to find people that you can trust today. But there are people who can be trusted. And ultimately, God, amen, is always true. He never fails. Friends may fail you, but the Lord will never fail you. Hallelujah. Lord, for all the families that are represented here, Lord, all the loved ones represented here, that our families, our loved ones will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved from the wrath to come. Lord, wake up your sleeping church in America. Oh God, even those who sleep among us here, wake them up. Lord, arrest them by your Holy Spirit. Bring them to repentance, God. We pray, grant repentance unto life, God, that, Lord, we would not fall asleep in the light, that we would not, Lord, fall prey to the spirit of apathy. Lord, we would shake off that spirit of apathy. That will stir up the gift of God within us. That we will return to your presence, Lord. Return to following you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.